In several places in St. Paul's letters, he spins out this overarching cosmic pattern of creation and salvation, of emanating out from God and returning to God. So he doesn't use the word boomerang, but it's a little bit like that. You know, you throw a boomerang out and it goes out there for a long distance and you don't think it's going to come back, but at some point it turns a corner and returns to you. And so creation emanates out from God, and it just keeps going and seems like it's infinitely going. I mean, think about how huge the universe is, and it has gone out all that distance, and yet it is on its way returning to God. Or some authors compare it to a river. This river of life and of love flows out from the side of God, and at some point in history it reverses its direction and it begins to flow back to God. So either way you look at that, the turning point, the reverse of direction, is Christ, specifically the incarnation in Jesus, because Christ always was, wasn't he? Christ was there, he was the Word with God, was God. Everything was created through him, but through him everything is returning to the Father. So that's what he means when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, the image given in the gospel today is the gate. Corrals for sheep were constructed in a way that the gate was very narrow, only enough room for one sheep to go through at a time. And instead of having a wooden swinging gate on that, the shepherd was the gate. He slept in that opening. So a wolf or a thief would have to go through him to get to the sheep. And the only way for the sheep to get out to pasture the next day was through him. He is the gate. Everything goes out and comes in through him. Now, this is what we mean when we end all of our prayers through Christ our Lord. Sometimes it has struck me funny. We used to say in the old translation before 2011, all the prayers would be spoken, and then they would end with, we ask this through Christ our Lord. But since 2011, there's no we ask this. There's just through Christ our Lord. And while that seemed a little awkward to me at first, the longer I pronounce those prayers, the more it makes sense to me. We're not just asking this through him. Everything is through him. There is no way from God and there is no way to God except through him. In the early days, in the first century, Christians were called the Way because they followed in the way of Christ. And that way was the way to Calvary. It was the way to death, which is also the way to life. And you can't have one without the other. The way to death is the way to life, and you can't get through to life, you can't get to eternal life without going through death. Baptism is a dying in Christ, and Catholic churches are constructed so that the font is there at the door. You can't get to the altar, which is the heavenly banquet. You can't get to the realized kingdom without going through the death of baptism. It's just the way it is. And that's not a problem. We have built that up into a problem. We think suffering is a terrible thing. And our culture is always, you know, take a pill for this, don't put up with that, you know, you don't deserve this, blah, blah, blah. And while there's some truth in all of that, as Christians, we need to come to understand that suffering and death is the way. And that's okay. That's not a problem. The preface today, in fact, all through Easter, all the Easter prefaces talk about this season of Paschal joy. Now, doesn't that sound like an oxymoron, Paschal joy? How can there be joy in suffering? And yet, the early Christians counted themselves lucky, privileged, to be able to suffer for the name of Christ. There's something about our Christian faith that's always paschal. We abstain from meat every Friday. We fast on certain days during Lent. There's something about giving up, of self-denial, something about sacrificial living that is a part of the Christian life. It's the way. Our Savior, our Good Shepherd, who is the gate, who is the way to eternal life, he's the sacrificial lamb. It doesn't work any other way. And that's all right. So, St. Peter says he has taken our sins on himself so that we might be freed from our sins. There's a reference here to the scapegoat. In the Old Testament, there was an annual tradition where they would put the sins of the people onto a goat, and then they would drive the goat out into the desert where it perished. And so you get rid of the sins of the people by putting them on that goat and sending it out to the desert, called a scapegoat. And it's so fitting for human nature, because humans love to put the suffering, put the guilt, put the problem onto someone else. You know, if we didn't have those people in our midst, everything would be okay. If I could just get you out of my life would be perfect. We're always scapegoating. It's just part of human nature. It's hard to resist that. Christ, God, takes on our human nature and becomes the scapegoat. He didn't sin. He was innocent. But he took on our sins and carried them to the cross for us, without complaining, without returning insults, without condemning. God is just so amazingly merciful and amazingly loving. We spend our whole Christian lives trying to wrap our minds around that. It's just almost beyond our comprehension. How could anyone do that? But this is exactly what we are invited into, a sharing in his suffering. So every time we come to Mass here, at the altar, we commemorate that event, that amazing event that we will never completely understand, but we commemorate it, and then we're invited to lay ourselves on the altar along with it, to join our sufferings to his, to follow in his way to the cross, because we have come to trust that that leads to life. And so St. Peter also says in that second reading, he has given us his life as an example. And so we imitate him. But it's really more than just imitating. It's being joined to. It's becoming him. So it's not by accident that we call this Holy Communion, because we're communing with him. We are joining ourselves to him dynamically, spiritually, even physically. He courses through our veins. We eat him. We drink him. It's communion with Christ. But it's also communion with his body, the church. And so, as we said here often, there are two invocations of the Holy Spirit in the Eucharistic prayer. The first one over the gifts of bread and wine, asking that the Father send his Spirit upon them to transform them into the body and blood of Christ. But then there's a second one, less obvious, that we often ignore, and that is the asking of the Spirit to come upon us so that we would become one body, one Spirit in Christ. So we're joined to him in his body and blood, we're joined to him as the Good Shepherd in heaven, but we're also joined to his body, the church, on earth. And both of those sustain us. both of those become our identity. One of those prayers after the Our Father says, "Do not look upon our sins, but on the faith of your church." We're not carrying this burden of righteousness or sin all alone. We're a corporation. We're a body. This is incorporated. Latin for body. We're the body of Christ, and we carry this burden together, and we share this joy together, and we walk this way of the cross together. And so it's not just a matter of being moral or being disciplined or, you know, doing the right thing. You know, it includes all of that, but it's so much more than that. It's about being joined to it, becoming part of it, becoming incorporated into it. So as this river of life and love flows back toward the Trinity, by baptism, I'm diving into that flow, into that stream. And I'm not fighting against it, trying to swim against the current. I'm stroking with it, and so I'm going 10 times as fast as I would go the other way, because I'm in his body. I'm in the church. I'm incorporated into that river. That river is me, and I am that river. And it includes the entire cosmos. It includes all of creation, the universe. Everything is being assumed unto Christ, so that after everything has been put under his feet, St. Paul says, he will hand it over to the Father, so that God may be all in all. It's wonderful to let go of the burden of saving myself and recognizing with joy, with paschal joy, that everything I am, that everything I suffer, that everything I rejoice over, it's all part of the one mystery of the return to God in Christ.